1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 7. Elijah. The life of Elijah. Brief thoughts. Well, the tale moves on, and there's another twist in the road. Some time later, the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Just a few words, just a simple statement. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. But there's a world of trouble there. There's a world of worry. There's a world of anxiety there. Here is this man. Here he is in the brook, in the ravine of Kerith, up into the mountains, in loneliness, entirely on his own. Here he is being fed by ravens. Bread and meat in the evening, bread and meat in the morning, and he's drinking from this brook. He's not living in luxury. It reminds me of the Puritans. They said brown bread and the gospel is good fare. He's there at the will of God, and God is providing for him. Drought has afflicted the land. It's a time of judgment, and here is Elijah. And he's gone at the will and word of God to this place. And yet drought strikes, even for Elijah. What can we learn from this? Here is a man who is faithful to God. He has confronted Ahab. He's spoken the truth to him. He's laid it on the line. He's risked his life. And then, strangest of all things, God has said, now leave and go. He just opens his ministry. And then he's taken away into loneliness across the Jordan. But this man, whatever the perplexities of his mind, has obeyed. He's been faithful. And here he's gone, and he's serving God, even in obscurity. And yet disaster strikes him. What do I learn from this? Well, I learn how cruel, as well as how wrong, prosperity gospel preachers are. What do I mean? Well, the prosperity gospel people are those who go to the Old Covenant and see the promises to Israel that if they will be faithful, there'll never be famine, there'll be fruitful barns and all the rest. And prosperity gospel preachers tell their people who are listening to them. What do they tell them? You obey God, you do the will of God, and all will be well. I'm talking about health, I'm talking about happiness, I'm talking about prosperity, I'm talking about long life, I'm talking about joys and pleasures. You'll have the best of everything. I'm H-A-P-P-Y, happy all the day, there's never a doubt, and so on. And it's all wrong, according to the gospel as I see it, according to scripture, and it's all cruel. How do I mean cruel? Because, my friend, if you're one of these prosperity gospel people, when you're young and fit and healthy and happy and prosperous, then it might look all right. But you will age, you will get infirmity, you will get the diseases too, and you will die, and you will have setbacks. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward, and God's people are not immune. It's a lie, this prosperity gospel. Look at Elijah. He's been faithful. He's confronted Ahab. He's done the will of God. He's obeyed God. And now drought strikes. It's a lie, this prosperity gospel. And it comes from the pit. And it's cruel. Because when things go wrong, my friend, disaster strikes. What then? Even our Lord Jesus Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's a mystery there. And if you look at Romans 9, my friend, if you look at Romans 9, what's Romans 9, 10 and 11 about? Oh, about Israel, yes, but what's it about really? Well, in Romans 8 and before, Paul has been tremendously strong on the will of God, the predestinating grace of God, the glorious triumph of the people of God. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. No condemnation. It's all well. Our present afflictions are going to work for us. Eternal weight of glory and all that kind of material. Taking other passages into Romans 8. Our sufferings not worth compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. Yes, it will all come right. And yet, Paul raises this very issue in Romans 9. Has the will of God failed? Look at it. Look at Israel. Has the will of God failed? And he takes three chapters to prove the will of God has not failed. But it looked like it. It looks like it. And that's the point here. Poor Elijah, I've obeyed you, Lord. And now the brook's dried up. Now, I don't get that. But whether it's passing through his mind or not, I don't know. Here's this man, and he's really under the harrow here because he's in drought and in trouble and in difficulty. William Cowper, you know, raised this point. Let me read it to you. O Lord, my best desires fulfill, and help me to resign life, health, and comfort to thy will, and make thy pleasures mine. Why should I shrink at thy command when love forbids my fears, or tremble at the gracious hand that wipes away my tears? No, let me rather freely yield what most I prize to thee, who never has a good withheld, nor will withhold from me. Thy favor all my journey through thou art engaged to grant. What else I want or think I do, the better still to want. Wisdom and mercy guide my way. Shall I resist them both? A poor blind creature of a day, and crushed before the moth. But now here's his honesty. But my inmost spirit cries, still bind me to thy sway, else the next cloud that veils my skies drives all these thoughts away. Cowper is being honest here. Yes, he says, I know all this is true, but I still doubt. I still have troubles. Brother and sister in Christ, are you passing through drought? Are you passing through troubles? Have you been infested by this prosperity gospel? Are you miles from anywhere? Are you lonely? Are things giving way when all around my soul gives way? It's one step at a time, my brother. My sister, learn from Elijah here. This is not the end of the story, but it is the next step. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. He wasn't exempt, even though he had been faithful. Oh, rest in the Lord. We should meet that again with Elijah. You see, Elijah is in trouble here. Christ in the garden, Christ on the cross. Paul was put in prison. Oh, it goes on and on. Yes. The prosperity gospel is a cruel lie. You can be faithful to God and be faithful to God and still come into doubts and troubles. Unbeliever, the big drought is coming. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the final judgment. And I'm talking about hell and damnation and eternal torment. That's what I'm talking about. Are you ready for the big drought? No, you're not, because you're an unbeliever. Oh, come to Christ and prepare to meet your God. Prepare for the big drought. I read to you William Cowper just now. I want to close with one more hymn on a more confident note. Cowper was honest, but let me speak of another hymn, remind you of another hymn. This catches the spirit of what I want to say. Oh, Lord, how happy should we be if we could cast our care on thee, if we from self could rest, and feel that heart that one above, in perfect wisdom, perfect love, is working for the best. How far from this our daily life. You see, the hymn writer here, Mr. Anstis, is being honest. How far from this our daily life, ever disturbed by anxious strife, by sudden wild alarms. Oh, could we but relinquish all our earthly props and simply fall on thine almighty arms. Oh, for the faith to cast our load of anxious thought upon our God, for he will clothe and feed. And from the lilies as they grow, and from the tended ravens know that we are safe indeed. Lord, make these faithless hearts of ours thy lessons learn from birds and flowers, and from self-torment cease. Father, we trust, and we lie still. Leave all things to thy holy will, and so find perfect peace. my brother and sister in Christ, and I speak to myself, let us rest in the Lord today. Let us go on being faithful, obeying God, and whatever surprising turns in the road, and whatever troubles seem to strike us, may we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Amen.